Now, my girl, who are ye and what do ye here?
May it please you, sir, we're two strolling players, Jack Poit and I, Elsie Maynard, at your worship's service. We go from fair to fair, singing and dancing and playing brief interludes, and thus we make a poor living.
You too, eh? Are ye man and wife?
Oh, no, sir, for though I am a fool, there is a limit to my folly. Her mother, old Bridget Maynard, travels with us, for Elsie is a good girl. But the old woman is abed with a fever, and we have come here to pick up some silver to buy an electuary for her.
Hark! Your mother is ill?
Sorely ill, sir.
And needs good food and many things thou canst not buy?
Alas, sir, it is too true.
Wouldst thou earn 100 crowns?
100 crowns? That might save her life.
Then listen. A worthy but unhappy gentleman is to be beheaded in an hour at this very spot. For sufficient reasons, he desires to marry before he dies, and he hath asked me to find him a wife. Wilt thou be that wife?
The wife of a man I have never seen?
Why, look ye, sir, I am concerned in this, for though I am not yet wedded to this Elsie Maynard, time works wonders, and there is no knowing what may be in store for us. We have your worship's word for it that this gentleman will die today.
Nothing could be more certain, I grieve to say.
And that the maiden will be allowed to depart the very instant the ceremony is at an end.
The very instant. I pledge my honor that it shall be so.
100 crowns.
100 crowns.
For my part, I consent. It is for Elsie to speak.
How say you, maiden, will you wed a man about to lose his head? For half an hour you'll be a wife, and then the dower is yours for life. A headless bridegroom I refuse, if truth the poets tell. Most bridegrooms, ere they marry, lose both head and heart as well.
A strange proposal you reveal, it almost makes my senses reel. Alas, I'm very poor indeed, and such a sum I sorely need. My mother, sir, this life to die, this money life may bring. Bear this in mind, I pray, if I consent to do this thing.
Though as a general bloom of life, I don't allow my promised wife, my lovely bride that is to be, to marry anyone but me. Yet if the fee is promptly paid, and he is well unbrave, within the hour is duly laid, objection I will waive. Yes, objection I will waive.
Temptation, for we are intended to shun whatever station of fascination's burden. Or forward ere we view you, head over heels into you. Head over heels, head over heels, head over heels into you.
Jester, eh?
Aye, sir, and like some of my jests, out of place.
Tell me, what are your qualifications for such a post? I have a vacancy for such a one.
Marry, sir, I have a pretty wit. I can rhyme you extempore. I can convulse you with wit and conundrum. I have the light of philosophies at my tongue's tip. I can be merry, wise, quaint, grim, and sardonic, one by one or all at once. I have a pretty turn for anecdote. I know all the jests, ancient and modern, past, present, and to come. I can riddle you from dawn of day till set of sun. And if that content you not, unto midnight, and the wee hours. Oh, sir, a pretty wit, I warrant you, a pretty, pretty wit. I jibe and joke, and quip and crank, for lowly folk, and men of rank. I ply my craft, and know no fear, but aim my shaft at prince or peer. At peer or prince, at prince or peer, I aim my shaft, and know no fear. I have wisdom from the east and from the west, that's subject to no academic rule. You may learn it from the jeering of a jest, or the stiff folly of a fool. I can teach you with a quip of my mind, I can trick you into learning with a laugh. Oh, with all my folly, 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 amplifying a grain or two of truth among the chaff. Oh, with all my folly, 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 amplifying a grain or two of truth among the chaff. I can set a braggart quailing with a quip, the upstart I can wither with the whip. He may wear a merry laugh upon his lip, but his laughter has an echo that is grim. When they're offered to the world in many guise, unpleasant truth are swallowed from the will. For he who makes his fellow, fellow, fellow creatures wise should always yield the will of something ill. For he who makes his fellow, fellow, fellow creatures wise should always yield the will of something ill.
Came you to leave your last employer?
Why, sir, it wasn't thus wise. My lord was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and it was considered that one of my jests was unsuited to his grace's family circle. In truth, I ventured to ask a poor riddle, sir, wherein lay the difference between his grace and poor Jack Point. His grace was pleased to give it up, sir, and thereupon I told him that whereas his grace was paid 10,000 a year for being good, poor Jack Point was good for nothing. It was but a harmless jest, but it offended his grace, who had me whipped and sent to the stocks for a school rogue. I had as lief not to take post again with the dignified clergy.
I trust that you are very careful not to give offence. I have daughters.
Oh, sir, all my jests are most carefully selected, and anything objectionable is expunged. If your honor wishes, I will try them on your honor's chaplain.
Can you give me an example? Say, I sat me down hurriedly on something sharp.
Why, sir, I should say then that you had sat down on the spur of the moment.
I don't think much of that. Is it the best you can do?
It has always been much admired, but we will try again.
Well, I am at dinner, but the joint of meat is but half cooked.
Why, sir, I should say then that what is underdone cannot be helped.
I see. I think I should find that manner of thing somewhat irritating.
Perhaps at first, but use is everything, and you would come in time to like it.
Let us say I caught you kissing the kitchen wench under my very nose.
Under her very nose, good sir, not under yours. That's where I would kiss her. Oh, do you take me, sir? A pretty wit, oh, a pretty, pretty wit.
See, the maiden comes. Follow me, friend, and we will discuss this matter at length in my library.
I am your worship's servant. That is to say, I trust I soon shall be. But before proceeding to a more serious topic, can you tell me why a cook's brain pan is like an overwound clock?
A truce to this fooling. Follow me.
Just my luck. My best conundrum. Wasted.
Oh,
To thee than I, who am alive and well.
Nay, that were out of reason, dear Wilfred. Why, do they not say that a live ass is better than a dead lion? Oh, no, I don't mean that.
Oh, they say that, do they?
Oh, it's unpardonably rude of them, but that's the way they put it, I believe. Not that it applies to thee, thou who art clever beyond all telling.
Oh, yes, as an assistant tormentor.
Nay, as a wit, as a humorist, as a most philosophic commentator on the vanity of human resolution.
Truly, I have seen great resolution give way under my persuasive methods. In the nice regulation of a thumbscrew, in the hundredth part of a single revolution, lieth all the difference between stony silence and the torrent of impulsive unbosoming the pen can scarcely follow. I'm a mad wag.
Thou art a most delightful and light-hearted companion, Master Wilfred. Thine anecdotes of the torture chamber are the prettiest hearing.
I'm a pleasant fellow, and I choose. I believe I'm the merriest dog that barks. Oh, we might be passing happy together.
Perhaps. I do not know.
For thou wouldst make a most tender and loving wife.
Aye, to one whom I really love. For there is a wealth of love stored up in this little heart of mine, saving up for I wonder whom. Now, of all this world of men, I wonder whom. To think that he whom I am to wed is now alive and somewhere, perhaps far away, close hand, and I know him not. It seemeth that I am wasting time in not knowing him.
Now, say that it is I. Nay, suppose it for the nonce. Say that we are wed. Suppose it only. say that thou art my bride, and I thy cheery, joyous, bright, frolicsome husband, and that the day's work being done, and the prisoners stored away for the night, you and I alone together for the long, long evening before us.
It's a pretty picture, but I scarcely know. It cometh so unexpectedly. And yet, were I thy bride?
I would thou my bride?
Oh, how I would love thee. I thy bride, and all the world beside me, why to hold my wealth of love? Were I thy bride, upon thy breast, my loving head would rest as on her nest of tender turtle dove. Were I thy
assault, by suggestion, by implication, by inference, by innuendo. But this wooing is not of the common order, for it is the wooing of one who needs must woo me, if she die for it.
So far as safely accomplished. The sly boots, how she wheedled him. What a helpless ninny is the lovesick man. He's but a lute in a woman's hand, and she may play upon him whatever tune she will. But here comes the colonel. I' faith, he's just in time for the omen parade here for his execution in 2 minutes.
My good and kind friend, thou runnest a grave risk for me.
Oh, tut, sir, no risk. None here will recognize you, I'll warrant. You make a brave yeoman, sir. The ruff is too high. And, the sword should hang thus. Now, the yeoman come. Remember, you are my brave son, Leonard Narrows.
If I may not bear mine own name, there is none that I would bear so readily.
Now, sir, put a bold face on it, for they come.
of daring do, our echo all the country through has come to join the tower warders. This so we come to meet him, that we may fitly greet him, and welcome his arrival here with shout and shout and cheer and cheer. Hurrah! Hurrah! Hurrah!
Suckled on gunpowder and winged glory. Behold my son, whose our subduing arm hath formed the theme of many a song and story. For if his aged father's pride nor share his aging father's
forsooth, and who art thou thyself?
concert. We are betrothed. To thy fond care I do commend thy sister. Be to her an ever watchful guardian, eagle-eyed, and when she feels, as sometimes she does feel, disposed to indiscriminate caress, be thou at hand to take those favors from her.
Be thou at hand.
To thy fraternal care, my sister, I command. From every lurking snare, thy lovely charge defend. And to achieve this end, O grant, I pray, this boon. O grant this boon. She shall not quit thy sight from morn to afternoon, from afternoon to night, from 7 o'clock to two, from two to eventide, from dim twilight to lamp and light, from dim twilight to lamp and light, she shall not quit my side.
Thank you. were no prisoner at all. We found the hide. We are the rear. The man who sucked with anxious care had vanished into empty air. The man who sucked with anxious care had vanished into empty air.
Now by my troth, the news is that the man has vanished into air.
As just before the prisoner, they sought his cell and took him out. The double gratings open were no prisoner at all. We found the hide. The man who sought with anxious care had vanished into empty air. The man who sought with anxious care had vanished into empty air.
Astounding news, the prisoner fled. My life shall forfeit be spared.
My lord, I did not set him free. I hate the man my rival be. The prisoner gone and I fled.
My life shall forfeit be instead.
Who could have held him more dead? My lord, I did not set him free.
Woe is me, I rather think, woe is me, I rather think, but every time you're on his credit, I am not alone, but woe is me, I rather think, woe is me, I rather think, woe is me, I rather think.